Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And there are so many ways you can listen to the show. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our terrestrial affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can check us out online. Use us on your phone at the radio.com app, the CBS Sports app, or on Apple Music. And on the CBS Sports app, which is so cool, you get CBS College Football on the app as well for free, which I love. And on the CBS family of networks this weekend, the 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS is going to be a hell of a matchup in the SEC West. Auburn, number 8, takes on Texas A&M, number 17, from Kyle Field in College Station, Texas. And on the call will be our good friend Carter Blackburn for CBS Sports. And Carter joins us this morning. Booms, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, yo, I want to hear about how the party at the Baron of Boar's Head went, the backyard bash.
Well, apparently it was huge. You're talking about Bob's Bar, which is Mraz's dad, over the weekend. Mraz's dad's backyard bar. They hired a band called The Parade. And from what I've heard, the band brought all the neighborhood out. They played until about 10 p.m., but apparently Bob from Bob's Bar didn't turn in until 3 a.m. That's what Schefter is reporting, which is a really late night for Bob the Deli Man.
Oh, that's fantastic. I was driving last, so middle of football season, I have back-to-back games in the Lone Star State where I live, so I get to drive to work, which is a rarity, and as I was driving into Houston, 6:50 a.m., CBS Sports Radio, Houston, on the dial, terrestrial radio, as I enjoy, as I love. So I got to hear the full preview, and I've been waiting with bated breath to hear exactly how the party went. So I'm very happy to hear about it. That's fantastic.
Well, thanks. No noise violations nor police citations. So that was a big win for the Mraz household. So you're going to be in College Station this week in Auburn and Texas A&M, and I think there's a lot of questions about which one of these teams is going to take that next step this season, considering Alabama's up top and LSU looks really, really good. When you look at this matchup on paper going into it, do you think Auburn, let's start there, has a chance to be able to go to Kyle Field and get a huge SEC West Road victory?
Yes, there is. The Aggies had to play their big matchup this year with at Clemson 2 weeks ago, and they did not play very well at all, especially offensively. Kellen Mond, their quarterback, had probably his worst game. Well, one of his worst games as an Aggie, turned the ball over twice. They averaged 2 yards per rush, the Aggies did against Clemson. They have to play better than that against Auburn to get the win. Now, you have inside knowledge as to how elite Kyle Field is as an atmosphere. So even though Auburn has the ranking and Auburn is the team that by the numbers is the closest to contending in the SEC West with LSU and Alabama, and that's how good, I mean, this is not breaking news. The SEC West is a very good division in college football. You can be a top 10, perennial top 15, top ranked team, winning 9-10, beating Oregon as the Auburn Tigers have already done this year, and yet you are still talking about, are you ready to be better than third place in your division? And while there is a maybe a fair backlash against SEC supremacy, you know, from the rest of college football, you still have to, when you look at a matchup like this and go A&M, Auburn, two great teams and national championship pedigree on both sidelines, and yet you're talking about are you going to be better than third place in your division? That's pretty incredible.
Yep, and Auburn's a top 10 team, and A&M has that loss right now to Clemson and is ranked 17, and yet A&M, that home field advantage that you mentioned, makes them a four-point favorite in this game. From where you sit, how is the A&M program different under Jimbo Fisher than it was under Kevin Sumlin?
Well, you have your the talent level is getting deeper and more fitted for the SEC. I mean, this is when you talk about why the SEC is great offensive line, but more importantly, the defensive line. Like, everybody can go get fast wide receivers and running backs, and there should be enough quarterbacks to go around, although it certainly took LSU a long time to find one. But the difference is when you're talking about line play and defensive line, and the Aggies are getting closer to that, and the depth piece of the puzzle, I guess you could say. It's old school football in fullback time of possession. Like, who talks about time of possession anymore in the 21st century? Like, seriously, it's a stat that is almost like I don't have a place to write it down on my list of stats I look at every week, and then you're like. And then Jimbo Fisher's like, well, we got to control that ball. It's, really important to us. Which, by the way, if you want to talk hunting and fishing, Jimbo Fisher is an all-day.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, it's so much so that I'll take you inside the production meeting last year. Aaron Taylor is a big hunter and fisher. And I would say that Rick Neuheisel was, after about 15 minutes of hunting and fishing talk between AT and Jimbo, was just chomping at the bit to get into developing a quarterback and quarterback coaching technique because he had heard enough about the hunting and fishing and the whitetail population in Kerr County, Texas.
Carter Blackburn joins us. He's going to be on the call for A&M hosting Auburn, 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. Now, earlier in the season, you called UCF against FAU, and Central Florida is going on the road to Pittsburgh and is a 12.5-point favorite. And you routinely do a lot of Boise State games for CBS Sports Network and the Mountain West. I want to know, from your vantage point, this year, both teams still undefeated, UCF or Boise State, who do you think has a better chance to crash the college football party?
Well, I think, sadly, that the polls are going to make that statement. And UCF, I mean, I see top 25 teams, I see ranked teams, I see championship contenders. UCF absolutely looks the part. I mean, they are an elite program, and they're more than a group of five contender, New Year's Six contender type of a team. I do think that they are underranked. I do think that they are undervalued, I think. But what you just the line you threw out there shows that, you know, in the end, it's like those whether they're computers or whether they're people in the desert, that they are the ones handing out the respect to UCF, whereas the people who are voting in the AP Top 25 apparently do not. And whether they are a top four national championship, can play for a national championship, and not declare themselves champs, which, by the way, I'll throw this wrinkle in. I love that, because in an era when everything is supposed to be tidy and it's all buttoned up and there's no disputed championship, I love that at the beginning, kind of the crest of that era, UCF's like, nope, we're national champs. Like this is we're gonna go 1931. On 21st century college football, and we're the champs. We don't care. We don't care what anybody says. We're champions. But I do think they are still underrated as how good of a football team they are. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, Carter Blackburn joining us from CBS Sports. He's going to be on the call for part one of an awesome doubleheader. Four ranked teams over two games, Auburn, A&M early, and then Notre Dame and Georgia late. And this isn't going to be an interesting late one as well. We'll leave on this. I mean, Notre Dame at Georgia, between the hedges in Athens. I think people always wonder if Notre Dame is overrated, overranked because of their reputation. This is a stiff test considering what Georgia did last year at Notre Dame. Stiff test for this Irish team going down to Sanford Stadium, right?
It is. I mean, it's the turning point in Georgia's modern history is when Dick Fromm won that game at South Bend 2 years ago and turned Georgia into the team that was not looking up at the elites in college football, but becoming one of the elites in college football, which is where they are now. So much so that when you look at who's in a position to contend for a national championship in 2019, it would be Notre Dame would have to pull off a huge upset to get themselves in that position on Saturday night, whereas the Georgia Bulldogs are right there at the top. And I wouldn't pencil anything in. I mean, you do have to remind yourself. I mean, of course, this is our job to like speculate and talk about what's going to happen, and it's a fun job. But you also have to like, it is still September. Like, there's a long way to go, but already Georgia is inked in by most people to be in the SEC championship game, which gives you a bye almost into the college football playoff. Clemson already, everyone has Clemson in the college football playoff already. But it is still September. But yes, Georgia's the team that is in position to contend for a title in 2019, and Notre Dame has to go in and prove that they can play at that level, which is a shift.
On CBS, Auburn, A&M, 3:30 Eastern, Notre Dame, Georgia at 8 p.m. Eastern time. On CBS Sports Network, Wyoming and Tulsa, Baylor at Rice, and Utah State at San Diego State. It's a big weekend on CBS for the family of networks and college football. Carter, it's always good to catch up, my man. Have a great call. We will be watching, bud.
Thanks. I'll tell the Dixie Chicken hello for you.
Okay, thanks, you. Yeah, we need to make sure the Dixie Chicken knows that I'm thinking about him. Thanks, man.
See ya.
Okay, Carter Blackburn joining us this morning on the show. And, yeah, that win by Fromm and the Bulldogs 2 years ago at Notre Dame, it was a defensive slugfest. There was tons of Georgia fans in attendance. Remember, Notre Dame fans got all bent out of shape because so many Georgia fans got into the game and made it loud. But that 20-19 victory in week two of 2017 really did kind of change the trajectory of Georgia football. And under Kirby Smart, since then, Georgia has been a championship contender and an SEC championship contender, and no longer a really talented program that probably should be better than it is, which is what it was for a decade plus under Mark Richt, and certainly before that as well. When we come back here on the show, the New York Giants are making a change. Daniel Jones, breaking news, announced as the starting quarterback for Sunday's Week 3. Are the Giants getting it right? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
That big boy.
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in LA. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. The DA showing a trash Tuesday. Send us your trashes by simply tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Or hit me up on the old phones at 855-212-4227. Full episodes of the DA show available in podcast form. Simply check out iTunes or radio.com or the website cbssportsradio.com. And you will get full episodes of the DA show. The Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team and their plan for success. The Steelers now lost Ben Roethlisberger for the season, and so Mason Rudolph takes over. He is a third-round pick from 2018, and he went for 12-19, a buck 12, and two touchdowns and an interception in his first action last week. Ken Rudolph and a defense with Minkah Fitzpatrick added save the season. Well, Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's how you can do and why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store. Or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that's Napa know-how. The New York Giants have broken news this morning. They will start rookie Daniel Jones in Tampa on Sunday for week number three. This is the right move. There is no defense any longer for starting Eli Manning. There has not been a reason to start Eli Manning for years, but now there really is no reason because you have the future on your roster. Here's how this went down. The New York Giants came into the season with the idea that this was going to be the, quote, Kansas City Chiefs plan, where they had Alex Smith, and they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes waited for a season under Alex Smith and took over in year number two. That was ownership's dream. That was their candy. That was their sunshine and rainbows. Eli has a farewell. The Giants fan base can throw their roses at his feet. And then Daniel Jones takes over season number two. See, one problem with following the Chiefs' game plan, Alex Smith was still good, and the Chiefs were contenders. There was no reason for the Chiefs to punt on a season because they were going to the playoffs every year with Alex Smith. That was not the case in New York. And Giants' delusional Eli Manning binky wearers defiantly said it was everybody but Eli's fault. Well, it's the offensive line. He's got no time. He's got no weapons. The offense, he's learning a new offense. When in reality, this is the cold hard truth. Eli Manning stinks now and has stunk for two seasons before this. See, here has been a problem with comparing Eli Manning to all these other contemporaries that are still playing. When you look at his age, you go, well, Eli should still have years in him. I mean, Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger are still playing. They're playing really well. And I mean, hell, Drew Brees and Tom Brady are still playing. So why wouldn't Eli Manning be still playing and be effective, right? All those other four guys are in the playoffs every single year. There has been a problem with thinking of it that way. Tom Brady is, of course, Tom Brady, but Brady's release and his mastery of the craft has allowed him to evolve at this age. He's not playing the same game that he played 10 years ago. It's all a lot of quick timing, hyper accuracy, and Brady is crazy maniacal about his body. Crazy. To the point where, like I said, I have a hard time believing this is all natural. I mean, he honestly looks like he's 25 years old in the face. Wouldn't we all like to look like that at 42 years old? He does not look like he's in his early 40s. He looks like he just came out of college. Eli doesn't have that. Drew Brees. Brees doesn't have the same arm strength that he once did. But Brees, with the same head coach and his crazy work ethic and his incredible smarts, has mastered the chessboard of the football field. He knows exactly what he wants to do at all times. Big Ben, physically, his arm has always been better than Eli's. And physically, even though he's now done for the season, Ben Roethlisberger has been able to shake off more punishment, play through more pain. He's bigger and stronger than Eli ever has been. And for Phillip Rivers, what is keeping him going at 38? His ridiculous release. Phillip Rivers still drops back. What's Eli? Eli is a plodding, lopey, arm over top, needs time, freaks out when there's pressure. He has not, his game can't age. And it hasn't. And the problem is because Eli's wearing the same jersey he's always worn, in the same stadium he's always played, and he's never injured, it just kind of seems like, well, yeah, Eli should still be good, and it must be everything else around him. Man, if you watch Giants games and you just did not have this adoration and connection to Eli's two Super Bowls, it would have been done 3 years ago. Eli was no longer Eli 3 years ago. The fact that he's still starting with some type of hope that he was going to turn around was such fool's gold. The entire time was fool's gold. And so this year, the only thing I said was, look, it makes sense to start Eli Manning because Daniel Jones, you don't want to ruin by throwing into the fire. But let's not act as though the Giants are going to be competitive with Eli. This is a 5-11 team, and it was always a 5-11 team. Shermer, the ownership, Gettleman. No, no, we're much better than that. Eli's going to keep us competitive. No. Wrong. But once Daniel Jones looked ready, and it doesn't mean that he's going to be a Pro Bowler, doesn't mean that he's going to end up being a superstar, doesn't mean he's going to Canton, but once in the preseason you could see, okay, it's not like the speed of the game's too fast. It's not like he's doesn't understand opposing defenses. It's not like he's completely out of sorts, which is a problem. That is a real problem when you throw guys out there like that. When that happens, you can't just shove a guy in there. Like when Blaine Gabbert got in year number one for the Jaguars, it was too much, too soon, not ready, going to break him. Once you saw Daniel Jones was actually ready for the part, it made no sense to keep starting Eli Manning because the season was going to be over anyway. You're not competitive. And Eli Manning's not Alex Smith, where you're still getting it done. He's not. He's none of those things. So this is the right decision by the New York Giants. And ultimately, what ended up happening was, I think Gettleman and Shermer realized, if they end up going 4-12 with Eli this season, their reputation take a huge hit. What they can ask their players of in the locker room takes a huge hit. Because if you keep running out the worst quarterback every single week, the locker room knows it. The locker room knows who's ready to be the quarterback in there. And they're going out there and watching Eli be a sad sack, pathetic QB. And I think they knew we lose credibility in that locker room, and we lose credibility around the NFL if we're just trotting out Eli just because Eli was once upon a time a great. So I think they went to ownership and said, well, what do you want here? Do you want this as a half-empty MetLife Stadium for the rest of the year with a march to nowhere? We could be a march to 4-12 with Eli, and then Eli gets his send-off. Or do you want there to actually be some action, some movement forward on the organization, and some excitement? At least we get to see Daniel Jones, and we think that he's ready. And when Pat Shermer over the weekend, after losing to the Bills, essentially wrote a sonnet, a love letter to Josh Allen, like, man, it'd be really nice to have a quarterback like that. You knew that he was over Eli. This is the right move. And even an ownership that wears Eli Manning jerseys to bed every single night couldn't ignore the fact that he's toast, and it makes no sense to keep handing the number 6 pick in the draft a clipboard every week if he actually is ready to be able to play.
Eli Manning, get him out.
Mraz, your football season just suddenly came back.
I just said this to you guys in the break. I feel as if a piano just got taken off my back. It's the most bizarre feeling because I have such deep appreciation for Eli Manning, but I feel loose.
Loose.
I know this is going to sound really weird and maybe over-exaggerated, but I will hope never feel this feeling. I feel as if I just got out of prison.
Mm.
I really do. I feel as if I'm looking around. The sky's brighter. It's new life.
You have your life back.
Right. It's refreshing. The Eli conversation for 3 years, 4 years, discussing, is he done? Whose fault is it that he looks like this? Is he a Hall of Fame? Like, it's been intoxicating, insufferable, and I've had to defend him and then be honest about him, and that's all done now. I could just move on and breathe. I could breathe. I could watch Giant football and just breathe and enjoy the season again.
I'm glad you're not overthinking this.
likening it to being in prison.
No, it
and
is.
Clearly
it is.
By your, you know, social media posts, you've been having a terrible time watching football on Sunday the last couple
of
years.
I have, and now it's just, it's refreshing. And at the same time, I'll take the time to process the last 15 years of my life and what's happened and the changes and everything that Eli Manning brought. But it's, you know, it's time to start anew. I'm having a daughter in December. I'm losing weight.
God.
I bought a house.
Oh, God.
I have a new quarterback. Like, life is changing and life is anew. Let's go.
It's a news. So you're having a daughter, your first child.
I might have to change your name to Daniel.
You just bought a house. Your life has really had two incredible steps forward, but you finally feel out of prison because Eli Manning is no longer the starting quarterback. That's what really puts you over the top.
Look, I know this is crazy. Like, this is the adjustment in my life that would be the hardest to deal with, and I waited. So I know that sounds crazy, but like, that's how intoxicating this was. That's how intoxicating the Eli Manning stuff was. I love the guy. But it just, I could not enjoy life again until we moved on at the quarterback position. And now I could just breathe and realize, okay, the baby's coming. We can move on now. Daniel Jones is the star.
So having your first child, not that much of a transition.
Well, yeah.
Buying your first house, not that much of a transition. But the Giants having a new starting quarterback, that's where the biggest transition in your life will be.
It's going to make everything so much easier on me now. It totally is. Like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to cut the lawn smiling now.
Right.
Maybe I'll, you know, I'll do the heartbeat thing with my wife with the baby. And
maybe.
Just like, but
yeah,
now
maybe.
I'll be more into it, more excited, because life is now refreshed and
okay.
Rebreathed.
Baby gets your full attention now because this has been settled.
No. Actually, it's the opposite. More attention goes on Daniel Jones
than
the baby.
True. His actual baby.
Yeah, this baby, if this is week 17 on a Sunday, she's holding out till Monday. Like, I'm not seeing Daniel Jones last start of the year.
Yeah, you can ask for that.
So had Eli been the starting quarterback the rest of the season, your excitement about having a child wouldn't be nearly as high.
Well, I better tread carefully with this
one. Yeah.
Look,
but,
I'm good.
But honestly.
No. This thing was suffocating my life. The Eli Manning era was suffocating my life. I'm the only one dying on a hill trying to defend the guy while also explaining to others who are still defending him why we need to move on. I am free. I am free as a Giant
to finally enjoy being a parent.
To enjoy everything that's going to come with my life now, because that chapter is closed and I can move on everything all at once. Baby, house, Daniel Jones.
I have one more follow-up, if you don't mind.
Sure.
DA. So
yeah.
Recently we discussed that Sunday where you ate and drank so much. You had so much gas and your wife made you leave the room.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that was sad eating and drinking.
Yeah.
Can she now rest easy that will never happen again because you are now happy and free from this prison?
I do think there'll be less nervous gas. I do. I think there'll be less
good. Then everybody wins.
So, yeah, having your first child, all right, it's fine. And buying your first house, okay, it's fine. But the fact that you now get to enjoy that without Eli Manning, now you can really be happy.
Again, I understand why that's funny. You guys don't understand it in my brain, but it was intoxicating on me. And I have this sense of relief now that I am free in my life.
Another word you don't know how to use.
I can actually focus on things like the baby and the house.
Now you can focus on the baby.
I can, because I see that my wife is only growing by the day, and I know now, like, all right, well, I don't have to worry about this Eli Manning thing anymore. You got all my attention.
What about the show? Will you focus more on either one of the shows
sure.
You're theoretically in
sure.
Charge of?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Now I can go get formula.
So you're saying the should Eli start or should Daniel Jones start actually is taking away, detracting from your attention on the baby?
I do think to a certain extent in life, because it was just, I was constantly on Twitter fighting with people about it. And just like, I know that argument's over now. And that was I didn't realize until in the last 15 minutes how intoxicating it was. I am so free now. I'm going to go home, grab my wife, kiss her, rub the gel on the belly. Hope the baby's doing well. I'm going to mow the lawn. I might even caulk something tonight.
Is that right?
I might caulk something. I might take a window and caulk it.
Is that?
And just show that like I can move on with my life.
I'm wondering if that's a euphemism for something.
Yeah.
Well, Mraz is a free man. He's been let out of prison.
Thank you, Pat Shermer.
He can now finally focus on the baby and the house because Daniel Jones is now the starter for week 3 in New York.
The most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
A news. A news. Who's the real a news? Right?
Oh, I know.
When we come back here on the show, it's a Trash Tuesday. We will take out the trash next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet,
Little Drippy 24-7.
Catastrophic? Something? You said cats and lismic. Whatever word that is, it's not happening. Can you just say the word real quick before you toss it?
Cataclysmic.
Cataclysmic.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA show is available every single day on your phone. You can listen to us using the radio.com app, using Apple Music, using the CBS Sports app, or you can watch us at watchda.com. We've had a great show already, and it continues to get better. Now, our toll-free line in the Trash Tuesday is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Lonnie tweets, "Happy Trash Tuesday, DA. I'm trashing Mraz for comparing benching Eli to getting out of prison. This is the worst news I have ever heard. How could it happen?"
Warm, sizzling garbage.
The most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
William tweets, "With the breaking news, Mraz is starting anew."
And it's electric.
Dixieland Dan tweets, "What's keeping Rivers going at his age? Not the quick release. He needs to keep a paycheck to pay for the stable of kids he has. The more football he plays, the less he is home to hear 45 kids crying."
Book it.
Brady tweets, "I'm trashing Mississippi State's defense. It's been 3 weeks and all I've seen is horrendous tackling. My grandma can tackle better. Hashtag take a lap."
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Marty tweets, "I'm trashing all the hype around Baker Mayfield. Okay, he's a good quarterback, but come on, I'm sick of hearing it. Last night, Booger was comparing him to Brett Favre, and that's just patently ridiculous. Hashtag get him out."
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
That's from our friend Marty Moose Knuckle.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. There was some really crazy comparisons thrown around last night. There were some really... Did I hear him compare Jamal Adams to Ed Reed? I think I did. So we had two players last night compared to Ed Reed and Brett Favre in a 23-3 stinker between two 0-1 teams.
Well, he also said as Luke Falk came into the game for the first time, "Hey, Adam Gase told us that he knows the offense the best of all three quarterbacks," and then he stopped talking. And luckily, Testator came in with, "Because he was in Miami with Gase last year, so he's just been around it longer, now that he's somehow better than Darnold and Trevor Siemian." Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Okay, so just as an aside to a news, it has struck me that over the last 2 weeks listening to Monday Night Football, Booger actually was camouflaged with how much people hated Jason Witten.
Agreed.
Everybody couldn't stand Witten, and Booger was on his little Boogermobile, the snot rocket, as Mraz would nickname. And he threw in a couple of things every so often. And just because we all hated Witten, Booger got the pass. Booger's solo so far has been nothing to write home about. It has not been as bad as Witten.
Yeah, that's the thing. It hasn't been awful either.
It has been serviceable, I suppose. But we're 2 weeks in, and I would say that Booger has been relatively underwhelming, I'll say, as the solo analyst.
Yeah, I would just consider him average.
Okay.
Certainly not a prime time I need to hear this guy. He's
no.
Not John Madden. You know what I mean? But, again, compared to Jason Witten, I think he at least gives you a little flair, but just very average commentary in general.
Well, it is one of the premier broadcast teams with the most attention on them, so it's a little worrisome that, once again, it's just like not a... you want to listen to a broadcast.
I mean, he's also new. I think it's only year two, game whatever, 18. I think he can be better when he finds the right way to do it. But now he's just trying to be so profound and everything is the greatest or the worst or the best. Like, it's okay if it's just a play. And it's okay if Jamal's is just good. He doesn't need to be Ed Reed. Like, just find a, like, he's at a 10 right now. If he gets to be a 7, he probably will be okay.
Yeah, last night, Ed Reed played Brett Favre in a game
yeah.
that was 23-3. Let's get to our trashes, boys and girls.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Perez, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing you. After over a year since your 15 weddings, we finally received our thank you cards. You came in, handed me a thank you card as I have moved with my new address, and you said, please make sure your wife gets this. Inside was a very nice personalized note about what you did with all the gifts we got you. An Airbnb gift card, a Home Depot gift card.
Sure.
And thanked me again and again. One problem. We gave you cash. We didn't give you a Home Depot gift card. We didn't give you an Airbnb gift card. So what's the point of trying to act thoughtful and personalizing something for me when you don't even know what the heck I got you? And now whoever got you those maybe better things than cash is not getting their proper kudos for what they did. So, you know what, DA? If you're going to take that much time to get the thank yous out, at least get them right.
All right. I'll accept that. Trash me.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Pretty sick.
Andrew Bogish, we'll go to you.
Oh, thanks.
Would
DA,
you like to trash?
Not sure anyone's ever done this before, but I'm going to trash you this week because I, too, got my thank you card this week.
Okay.
Surprisingly, though, because much like, if I remember correctly, the invitation to wedding number two, my address was incorrect. I believe you had to hand me the wedding invitation because the invitation came back to you because you had transposed numbers on my house. Somehow the mail service got me your thank you card, even though you couldn't be bothered to update your Excel spreadsheet with my correct address. So really, how thankful are you if you didn't really want to make sure the card got to me?
Okay. Trash me.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
How did the card get to you?
I don't know how this time they figured it out, but it came again. My address begins with a 7, then a 5. Both times you've had 5-7. The first time you had to hand it to me, the wedding invitation. This time, somehow, I guess they know your tricks and wanted to, you know, not make you feel too bad and got it to me somehow.
Well,
so kudos to them. Untrash the U.S. Postal Service.
Look, no good deed goes unpunished. And I, out of all of the thank you notes that we sent out to the 100 plus guests we had at the wedding, we had more than that because we had two weddings. Nobody else criticized me for it. Nobody else ripped me for it. Nobody else trashed me for it. So now I know where I stand amongst this circle, and I know that a PGP not long ago was basically a fire on DA session.
Whose
between
names
Mraz
on the show?
And do not deflect.
I'm just saying I now know where I stand in the middle of this circle because I
no, we know. When you don't get an address right and you don't even know what the heck I got you, we know where we stand.
Now, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you going to trash?
I am trashing Mraz and Bogus because I got my car too as well.
Uh-huh.
And I was very pleasantly surprised by it in terms of the personal note in the card and loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was very thoughtful. Talked about the stain on my shirt from wine.
Yeah.
And I just really engaged with it. And it was really, my wife was impressed and I was impressed as well. Thank you, DA. I'm trashing these buffoons.
Well, trash
Hold
that.
Your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Well, look, the fact is that Pete appreciates class like I do. And you two,
clearly,
you two guys are low class. And here's the fact of the matter. I wanted to get these thank yous out like 2 weeks after the wedding. This is not the type of thing I like to hold on to. I like to pay off my bets. This is a big thing on this show. Pay them off. I don't want to owe anybody anything. And I owed everybody a thank you note for a full calendar year. I was beside myself saying, we've got to get these out. We've got to get these out. The Bourbon Belle, she had a lot of stuff going on over the calendar year. I said, can we get these out? It felt like we were wasting time. It felt
Are
like we were...
Are you blaming her right now?
And I'm just saying that 1 year later, 1 year later, she insisted that it was still within the proper protocol to be able to send it out 1 year later. I would have thought there's no way you can get away with sending out a thank you card 1 year later. Had we sent these out 2 months after it, maybe I would have remembered exactly what gifts would have been. Had we sent it out 2 months after it, maybe I would have remembered exactly what the address would have been. But unfortunately, some things happened. And these were later than I would have liked. And so I will take the responsibility that said mistakes might happen.
You just became me taking blame and putting it on somebody else's shoulder.
Is the hotline ringing right now?
Hope you enjoy the couch.
You got a Sleep Number couch at home too, or just the...
I am only here to explain exactly how this could have happened. It's not that I didn't appreciate your gifts. It's not that I didn't want to respect exactly what your address was. It was that when you do thank yous 1 year later, sometimes details get a little fuzzy. That's how this happened.
You don't need to explain. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Beat the body, the lobby. Now, I will get to my trash coming up here at the top of the hour because I was at a wedding this past weekend. And how about this for a tease? I almost got choked out. I did not bring this up to anybody because I wanted to hold it off for Trash Tuesday. But there was a violent end to the wedding.
Yes.
On Saturday night in Lexington, Kentucky. I will explain coming up here next because this deserves a full segment to trash. We'll also discuss Jalen Ramsey and his trade demand. He wants out. He's a guy that's one of the best corners in football, but also one of the most problematic personalities. Is he worth a first rounder? It's all coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.